My name is Nanaya. I am a woman with big dreams.
This semester in Black Women in Political Leadership, we learned about the experiences and processes of Black women who have pursued political leadership roles in a range of contexts. Using the historical figure Harriet Tubman as an anchor, we traced the evolution of Black women's leadership chronologically and internationally. Often without support from Black men and other races, these women are placed into unique roles, relying on their innate skills and the support from the communities they build around themselves. My name is Naomi Erin Ajanine Boateng, and this podcast is a culmination of my learning this semester. Composed by Dr. Ephraim Amu in 1929, Yanara Asasini, the song you just heard, is the unofficial national anthem of Ghana. The translation of the first few lines of lyrics goes as such: "This is our own native land. What a priceless heritage, acquired with the blood our ancestors shed for us. It is now our turn to continue what our ancestors started." The song presents a microcosmic view of the importance of land in Ghanaian culture and politics. Considering Ghana's economy is based on agriculture, and part of Ghana's independence fight was based on resources, land is sacred. Thus, as a Ghanaian, I found it fitting to focus this podcast on land and law. My research took me to the virtual office of Nanaya Aduma Asantinuro. While we were unable to actually teleconference and meet, I sent Mrs. Asantinuro the list of questions I had for her, and she sent me back audio recordings of her answers. The recordings have been integrated into the podcast, and I hope you enjoy. Thank you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your rise to leadership. Can you explain what you do and how the Land Commission works?
I am a lawyer. I came into leadership by virtue of my education, my ability to solve issues, my experience, and currently I'm working at the Lands Commission Kumasi in the Ashanti region of the Republic of Ghana. I am the head of the legal unit. I work with other lawyers, I supervise them, and I have an administrative staff that supports me. What we do at the Lands Commission is to ensure an effective land management system in Ghana. I'm responsible for going to court, for vetting legal documents, for giving legal advice, and whatever task that may be assigned to me by virtue of being the chief legal advisor in the Ashanti region.
Are there any issues you can address better as a woman? Do you use a gendered lens when solving problems?
There are issues that I can address better as a woman, and being a woman puts me at an advantage, and I'm able to use the gender lens in resolving these issues because then I ask myself, how would I want to be treated? For example, in Ghana, the property rights are mainly controlled by the men. So you get women in positions of vulnerability, women whose husbands have died, women who have been divorced, women who don't know where to turn to. And when they come to you, you put yourself in their shoes and you're like, what do I want to be done for me as a woman? Then you are able to give them better advice. You are able to follow up. You are able to be more sympathetic I will say, towards their plight. And then at the end of the day, you feel so happy, and then you know that, yes, your gender has given you an advantage in such a situation.
What has it meant for you to serve on the commission?
What it has meant for me to serve on the commission, it has meant a lot to me, especially at the level I am, to motivate other young people, to let other women know that it is possible, you can make it, and then to make a difference showing that you can be a leader and you can be sympathetic. You can be a leader and you can be vulnerable. You can be a leader and you don't have to work alone. You come with everyone on board. You show the next generation and the people after you that, yes, even women can do it. As I speak now, when you look at the Lands Commission Kumasi, I would say in the top management, they're about, I think there's only me as a woman that's the head of a unit or a division as we speak now in the Ashanti region.
What factors do you feel have complicated, overshadowed, or impacted your accomplishments?
Factors that have complicated, overshadowed, or impacted my accomplishments. I refuse to dwell on those factors. I believe that I'm doing what I have to do and I'm excelling at it. I just move because irrespective of those factors, I am still doing what I'm doing. I am still accomplished. I am still excelling. But if I may chip this in, sometimes as a woman, you may feel overwhelmed when you look at combining career, family life, and things you have to deal with generally at the workplace. Sometimes they want to put you down. They don't want to listen to your views. They don't want to take you seriously. But if you stand your ground and you keep moving, eventually everybody comes on board. They have no other option than to come on board. So I refuse to dwell on those factors, but I will just say I keep moving. Everyone should keep moving, and we should all excel at what we are doing as women.
How do you balance your personal and professional life? And what is your advice to young girls today trying to figure out how they can balance their own lives?
How do I balance my professional and personal life? Well, I try as much as possible to delegate when I can. There is nothing wrong with giving someone else a task to perform and supervising afterwards. You know, you can do it all alone. It takes a village. You have to come on board with people who can help you at home as well as in the office. If you need someone to cook, you can take someone to cook. If you need someone to clean, you can get a cleaner. If you need someone to type, you should get a secretary. If you need a PA, please, you must get a PA. You have to find a way to balance so that you don't overstretch yourself. Getting it right does not mean doing it alone. So my advice to young people today, especially young girls trying to figure out how they can balance their lives, is I will tell you that if you need help, you must get help. There is nothing to be ashamed of. Nobody is superwoman. It doesn't exist. It takes a village.
Is there a difference between women's leadership and men's use of political power?
I believe there is a big difference between women's leadership and men's use of political power. Women leaders seek to be more engaging, more participatory, more involved in relationships, so they get the results better. But the men's use of political power, to a large extent, is more of a command and a rule kind of situation. So I believe the leadership styles are very different, and I see the women leaders going for more forward in terms of being more result oriented, but the men just want the work to be done. But the women want the work to be done well and done with joy and satisfaction.
How would you describe your leadership style?
I will describe my leadership style as more of a participatory kind of leadership. Every team member is involved. I believe that kind of style makes it more goal-oriented without compromising on our humanity. Because when you feel more involved, when you know that you matter, when a team member knows that the person matters, the person gives their very best. So when there is a command and control kind of situation, it's very mechanical. I believe that kind of style is more human. We get our results without compromising our humanity. And I believe that it promotes peace, it promotes good energy, and it gives better results. And that kind of style has worked for me, continues to work for me, and is more effective than any other style that I know of.
Do you feel that women in positions of power are scrutinized more heavily on issues such as competence, but also on issues like physical appearance, clothing, and family? Have you had any experience with this, and could you give examples of this?
Definitely, yes. Definitely, yes. I believe women in positions of power are scrutinized more heavily on issues such as competence, also on issues like physical appearance, clothing, family, all the time. I have a perfect example. I remember some time ago, like about 3 years ago, an older man came into my office and said he was looking for the head of the legal unit. And I asked if he needed anything and if he had an appointment. And he goes like, oh, yes, I've met him a couple of times. I asked him to describe the head of the legal unit. And he said, oh, an older looking man in his late 50s. He has gray hair and he's huge and tall. And I was like, that cannot be, because I'd been in that position for more than 10 years. He was shocked. He had to sit down, catch his breath, take like a few minutes before he could actually communicate what exactly he needed from me. It happens all the time. People come in and assume you are the secretary. People come in and assume you're a junior lawyer or you just finished law school, because they cannot believe that you have probably been a lawyer for more than 15 years. But we move, and we know that one day it will come to a time that people will be accepted for who they are and the leaders they are, irrespective of gender. But until then, we'll keep on doing what we're doing.
People say that to be a leader, you must have charisma, that glow when you speak, that has the potential to draw people towards you and your project. Why do you think this quality is readily identifiable in men over women leaders? How has this intangible notion of charisma impacted your experience with leadership?
Yeah, people say that to be a leader, you must have charisma. That is a glow when you speak kind of effect to draw people to you. But nowadays, I think that there are things that draw people to you more than charisma. Indeed, we have different kinds of leaders, charismatic leaders. Charisma is a good thing. But people look more to leaders who include them in decision making, leaders who make them feel like they are part of a team, leaders who are more sympathetic, leaders who put themselves in other people's shoes. And usually women leaders have this kind of participatory leadership in mind. They are more goal-oriented results-oriented, but focusing on relationships. So there's less command and control. What is charisma if you can get someone to do what you want the person to do? What is charisma if you do not appreciate your team members' efforts, if you do not get them to feel like they belong to a network, to feel like they are appreciated? No, this intangible notion of charisma, it hasn't impacted my leadership style in any way. The presence of charisma or the lack of it is not an issue. The issue now is people want to feel more like they belong. People want to feel like their opinions are heard. People want to feel like they matter. And now, charisma is good, but it does not get the work done anymore.
And finally, what advice can you give to the next generation of leaders?
My advice to the next generation of leaders: your dreams are big enough to achieve. You do not have to shrink to fit. It takes a lot of hard work, and even as a woman, sometimes you have to work twice as hard, but it is definitely achievable. My advice to you is to be the kind of leader that you want to see. You can bring about change. You can bring about transformation. I know that sometimes you may seem, it may seem kind of overwhelming, but it is definitely achievable. You have to remember there were great women before you, and there will be great women after you. You have to look at great female leaders all around the world. There are so many of them, presidents of countries, including me. And then you know that, yes, if Nanaya from Ghana can do it, so can you.
My interview with Mrs. Asantewnro reminds me that some of the traits that are seen as weak in women can make you a strong leader. She also reminds me that in my efforts to be a strong, independent woman, I might be hindering my own progress by not embracing help or by dwelling on past mistakes. It is especially important to hear from women like her, who have been able to accomplish these things in a generation that was even less focused on equality than mine, because it gives perspective on how much our society has grown and gives us hope for the future and whom we can become. Furthermore, it is really reassuring to know that a woman of such caliber is in such a position of power, because it means that her presence alone is actively dismantling corrupt systems that are less fair and that don't give voices to those who are less fortunate. Her being there and her having her compassion and her empathy and her understanding helps to create a more just and equitable society. I want to end this podcast by giving a big thank you to Mrs. Asantewnro for taking time out of her busy schedule to craft such beautiful, insightful, and thoughtful responses. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I also want to thank Professor Boyce Davies for creating a class with a curriculum and a goal that inspired and nurtured the thinking of Black women specifically. You've created a safe space for me and my peers on campus, and we'll always remember this class. Thank you so much.
And remember, the sky is not even the limit. You can go beyond the sky. I wish you all the very best. Thank you.